Welcome to lecture 7, continuing part 2 of these advanced counting techniques. First, something from section 7.3 about divide and conquer algorithms and recurrence relations. Divide and conquer, I think it was a motto of for Julius Caesar, and it's also computer scientists also use strategy. And I do it here for multiplication of numbers. Usually you know this, if you take n digit numbers, this the number of operations are growing like n squared. Can we beat that? I do it for some very small numbers here. It's an example from the book. 14 times 10 is 140, and in base 2 we have this 4-digit numbers in base 2 there. The idea is to split them up with help of two-digit numbers. I call them like 14 then is 1110, and I write it as 4 times A1, that is 11 in base 2 now. Now I'm always in base 2. And you know, multiplying by 2 squared, that's like shifting to the left and putting zeros afterwards. So let's do this decomposition with A1, A0, B1, B0, and do the multiplication as we are used to. And we see that we get 4 multiplications there and some additions, of course. But now comes something smart here. We can, in fact, reduce the number of multiplications with 1. If we do some subtractions first, A1 minus A0 and B0 minus B1, we can express it as in at the middle of page 1 there. And the additions and subtractions, they don't take so much time for large numbers. It's the multiplications that really matters. And here we see the connection with recurrence relations we spoke about in lecture 6. If Fn denotes the number of bit operations to multiply n-digit numbers, we see here that F4 is equal to 3 times F2 plus some additions and subtractions. I include this in a constant C there. We have to, if you want to go into detail, you have to get an estimate for capital C there. So multiplying a 2n digit number can be performed by 3n digit multiplications plus some extra additions and subtractions then. So there you see we have a recurrence relation. And I have worked out these multiplications here, A1, B1, A0, B0, and B0 minus B1 turns out to be 0, so that will not get any contribution from that term. And as I said, multiplying by, say, 16 is then moving 4 positions to the left and putting zeros afterwards. And if we add up everything there we get in base 10, then we get 140. In the book they have solved these recurrence relations here, and it turns out that the number of bit operations is big O n to the power of log 3. You remember the big O notation? And log here is in base 2, so this is a roughly 1.6. So this is really an improvement for large n. The BX, the algorithms we learned in school, they go like n squared. But here, so for large n, this is an improvement. We don't have to go into detail of solving this particular recurrence relation. It's called the master theorem in 7.3. We don't have to spend time on that. Now I turn page and go over to the main topic in this lecture. It's about generating functions and then about inclusion and exclusion. First, generating functions. You know the power laws, and they can be very helpful for solving combinatorial problems. And we work with polynomials or so-called power series here. And it turns out to be very useful. And you get frightened. Do you think there is a lot of calculus in this? Well, it's not really. We are only interested in the digits in front of the x squared and x cubed and so on. Take an example there. Fx is a rational function like that, like this. X cubed minus 1 divided by x minus 1. If polynomials are nice, can this be expressed as a polynomial? Well, if it should start with a 1 then, because when x is 0, we are the function is a 1. You could think of that we always time here are doing this for very small x, and we don't, we are, as I said, only interested in the numbers in front of the terms here. And it turns out that this fx is really a polynomial. It's sufficient with three terms, 1 plus x plus x squared. And then we say, here comes the definition of a generating function. Fx is the generating function for the sequence 1, 1, 1, and then the rest is zeros. There were all the time ones there in front in the polynomial. Sometimes we get infinite polynomials, we could say, we call them power series. And I take the next example, g of x is equal to 1 divided by 1 minus x. And we do the same thing, we try to rewrite this as a polynomial, we hope. Can it be expressed as a polynomial? Well, it turns out then that we have to use infinitely many terms. We must have the right value at zero, we should have the right first derivative, we should have the right second derivative, and so on. And it turns out that it will be a series 1 plus x plus x squared plus x cubed, and so on. And we have to stay for x absolute values of x smaller than 1 if this should have a meaning. As they say, it's convergent in that region, this series. So we say that g of x is the generating function for the infinite sequence this time. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. There is a 1 in front of every term there. But we can get now a new generating functions. It turns out that it's okay to take it if we want to take the derivative of g, we call it h. It's okay to do the derivation term wise. So we get 1 divided 1 minus 1 minus x squared, that is 1 plus 2x plus 3x squared, and so on. So then we say that h of x is the generating function for the sequence 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc. And how do you add such power series? Well, we add them term by term, and we do multiplication as usual. I give two examples there. You can check yourself the first terms. Yeah. Then we turn page, and for just mention a convenient notation, 1 divided by 1 minus x squared. There we can use this, what we are used to from binomial theorem, in fact, even for minus negative exponents there. And what do we mean with such a binomial coefficient? Well, there is a definition in the book, and I just give you the result here, and we can turn it into ordinary factorials. We get what we had on previous page at the end, but this is a convenient notation, and there is a table 1 you should get used to if to see different generating functions. Now it's time for some action. How to use these generating functions to solve counting problems? Well, we take an example here with 3 children. We say they will eat 17 cakes. So the number of cakes for each children we denote E1, E2, E3. So if I add them up, we get 17. Now we have some restrictions also. Say the little child can eat only between 2 and 5. The little bigger child can eat 3 to 6 cakes. And the largest one can eat 4 to 7 cakes. How many integer solutions are there to this problem with these restrictions? And now comes a very important thing. We can turn this into a question of the coefficient in front of x to the power of 17 for the following function. Here comes now the generating function for this problem. We put up a little polynomial for child 1 to the left. In the middle we have child 2. You see how I have selected the terms there. That kid in the middle there, they can eat 3, 4, 5, or 6 cakes. And child 3 lies from 4 to 7. If we go back a little bit, we can see that the maximum number of cakes for each child is 7 plus 6 plus 5, that's 18. That's 1 more than 17, so maybe you can then figure out without any calculation that how the how this can in how many ways this can be done. And if we go down to the polynomial again, we see that in how many ways can we get 17? Well, we can take, for instance, 5x5 from the first, x6 from the middle, and then we have to take x6 from the last one. And it turns out that there are three ways of getting x to the power of 17. And that was maybe not a surprise if you were thinking about it. So there we have the generating function for that problem. We turn page to page 4, and here this example is from the book, but here I do a little bit more. I'm inspired by this thing that they do nowadays with compression of files, zip and unzip. So I do some, I think, in the same way for this generating function. Let's compactify it by pulling out some common factors there, and we get a polynomial cubed, and I use table 1 to rewrite it as a ratio like that. We have on top of page 4. So there you have the generating function, and the numbers we are interested, they are hidden, so to speak, in this function. And then we can unzip this thing by using table 1. And the nominator is clear, that it's only x to the power of 9, and then a polynomial, but the denominator becomes such an power series, infinite polynomial, you could say. How to get x to the power of 17? We can do this in three ways. We can take x to the power 9 times 1, then in the last one we have to pick x to the power of 8, and the coefficient is, table 1 tells us that this is this binomial coefficient 10 over 8, and then we go on with the two other terms, and then we add everything together, and we get 45 minus 45 plus 3 equals 3. So it works. Let's continue with the same example, but we skip this restrictions we had. They can eat, get 0 cakes, or each child can get as 0 cakes up to 17. And then we have, in fact, this problem we talked about in lecture 5. You know this with sticks and plus signs. So 19 over 2, 171 possibilities this time without restrictions there. How will the generating function be? Yeah, and then if it's the same for each child, and we could take, it will be 1 plus x squared, and so on. And we compactify it by this by using the table, and go over to and rewrite it as as a such a power series. And the coefficient in front of x to the power 17 is this time 19 over 17. That's the same as 19 over 2. 17 sticks and 2 plus signs. So here was a second method to solve this combinatorial problem. So now you have seen two examples of the strength of these generating functions, and we will do one more here on page 5. We will solve, take an example from the book, a recurrence relation. We have a sequence AK, we start with a 1, A naught equal to 1, and we will get a sequence there, and we know how to solve it from previous lecture, but now we do it with a generating function, g of x. And we don't know g yet, but we do some observations here. For instance, if I multiply with x, I get increase the powers there, and I can change this summation that goes from 1 up to infinity. What we do here, we do it in two steps. You can think of, you multiply the recurrence relation with x to the power k, and then we sum from 1 up to infinity in this case. It's a little bit tricky business here, but you have to practice and to get it right. Sum from 1 to infinity there. And you see then that the left hand side is g of x minus a naught, and a naught we know it's 1. And the on the right hand side, the first term can be identified as 3x times g of x. And the last one, we can now use this table 1 to see that this is same as 2x divided by 1 minus x. And now we can put everything together, and here we have a compactified version of the generating function. 1 plus x divided by 1 minus x, 1 minus 3x. The numbers we are looking for, they are hidden in this. So now it's time to unzip this gx so we see these numbers. And last line there, we do what's called in, how do you say in English? Partial fraction decomposition. We rewrite this rational function as a difference here, in this case, between two terms there. Because the nice thing is then that can be used table 1. We can use table 1 for these. We have for these two terms there. And what we get there is two power series, and we can look term by term, and you see then read off what's in front of x to the power of k. Well, that's 2 times 3 to the power of k minus 1. So that's it. That's the solution to our recurrence relation. Very beautiful way of see the power of these generating functions. Yep. Let's finish this lecture with 3 pages about inclusion and exclusion. This is a method we have seen a little bit of previously. Say you have 2 sets, A and B, and we are interested in the number of elements in the union of A and B. And you know, then you sum A plus the number in A and number in B, and then we have this double counting. We have to subtract the elements in the intersection because we have counted them twice before. And this can be then generalized to 3, 4 and so sets. I take an example, C, D and E there. Then how many elements are there in this region? Well, we add them first, but then I understand that there is this double counting, so we subtract the 3 intersections. But then we have think about the ones in the very middle there. They are the common elements for all 3 sets. These elements were added 3 times first, but then they were subtracted 3 times. So we are down to 0. We have to add them once to get it right. And we can go on with 4 elements, 4 sets, and start to see a pattern here how to do include, exclude, include, exclude, until you get it right. So that's the name why it's called inclusion and exclusion. And if you take 4 sets, the elements in the intersection, they are counted 4 minus 6 plus 4 minus 1. That's equal to 1 time. So there, that's the way to do it. Okay. Let's go back to this example with the cakes and from page 3 again, and do it now with inclusion and exclusion. We had some minimum conditions for the number of cakes for each child there. So let's do it, give them 2, 3 and 4, and then we are free to give them Y1, Y2 and Y3 cakes of the now remaining 8 cakes. And these all Ys, they are lying between 0 and 3. So let's have a look at this problem, and then we turn page 7. And then I draw a web Venn diagram here without any upper restrictions. There are 10 over 8 solutions, this sticks and plus sign thing. And we are seeking the number of elements in the shaded region. But then we can instead attack this problem by calculating the number of elements in the white region, in the intersections of these ones. So and then we do it with inclusion, exclusion. I take one of these regions where Y1 is greater than 3, and then I do it, rewriting it again as 4 plus u1, a new coordinate. So our problem is then u1 plus y2 plus y3 is equal to 4. And then we solve it with the ordinary way, plus signs and sticks. There are 6 over 4 possibilities. And then I go over to the intersections, and there is symmetry here, so I only have to consider one case. I take y1 and y2 equal greater than 3, both of them, and rewrite it there. And it turns out then that the left right hand side becomes 0. So it's of course only one possibility left there. And in this case, we have no three, they don't intersect all three of them there, because 4 plus 4 plus 4 is 12. We had only 8 cakes. So we can finally put this together. The universal set had 10 over 8 possibilities, and here comes in square brackets what we get out from the inclusion exclusion. There are 3 such regions equally large, and they are 6 over 4, that's 15 then, in each of them. And then we have to subtract the 3 intersections, and it was, they don't cut each other, all 3, so I add symbolically that, just to point out this, 0 here. And we get out our 3 as we had before. And you recognize these numbers from the previous example there. Yeah. So that's a way to solve the problem with inclusion exclusion. And here another example, a last example with calculating onto functions. Think you have 5 elements A, B, C, D, E. They shall be distributed into 3 containers in such a way that no container is empty. That means that it's an onto function. It's from 5 elements to 3 elements. You could think of 5 tasks that should be distributed to 3 employees, and then they should have work to do all of them. How can this be done? This is such a small problem, this example here, so we can in fact calculate this by hand. 5 is equal to 1 plus 1 plus 3, or 1 plus 2 plus 2. 3 digits, and they should add up to 5. And the 1 plus 1 plus 3 case, I give an example there to the left. And how many of them are there? Well, the group of 3, that can be done in 5 over 3 ways. And then we can permute all these ones. There are 3 factorials of such permutations, and it turns out to be 60. And the 1 plus 2 plus 2 case to the right there, well, 1 should be lonely. That's 5 possibilities. And the other 4, they should be grouped, turned into groups of pairs. 2, this can be done in 6 ways. And then it's a question of where to put this lonely element. That could be 3 possibilities for this. So this is 5 times 6 times 3. There are 90 such possibilities. And we can add them. Summation principle. And we add it up to 150. But let's do it with inclusion exclusion. And how many functions are there? 3 to the power of 5, 243. There was no restrictions there. And here I have just sketched three regions that should be avoided then. I call it NC1 equal to 0. That means there are no elements in container 1. And we have the same for container 2 and container 3. So how many functions are there where container 1 is empty? Well, then they go into container 2 and 3, and there are 2 to the power of 5, 32 such functions. And if both container 1 and 2 are empty, that's an intersection, then there are of course only one such functions. All go into container 3. And then we get that the number of onto functions are, that means the elements in the shaded region here in the figure. Then we take the number of elements in the universal set, 3 to the power of 5. And then we include exclude these three sets, 3 times 2 to the power of 5. But then we have this double counting of intersections, and there are 3 elements sitting there in these intersections, and all 3 cannot intersect because it was a there were functions we spoke about, they must go somewhere. So all 3 containers cannot be empty. So there is a 0 there at the end. And we put it together, so we put it 243 minus 96 plus 3 equal 150, and that we could count by hand. But this is a really powerful thing with this inclusion exclusion. Then we continue next time with relations. Bye.